Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In a world with work deadlines and horrible bosses.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
And your team may be in last place. We can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on. You gonna leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
They call upon Gwynn and Chris with Tony Gwynn Jr.
We got Gwynn and Chris NFL Pick'em. When we come back, take a break. See ya.
And Chris Ello.
All right, speaking of star athletes who play with wooden bats.
Gwynn and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Welcome back into Gwynn and Chris. We are here live at Scripps Ranch High School preparing for a semifinal game. Division III, Scripps Ranch Falcons taking on the Central Spartans. Coming up in the next 30 minutes, listen for your name to be called and call us back at 833-288-0973 to win a family four-pack of tickets to join us for the 97.3 The Fan Takeover Night at SeaWorld's Christmas Celebration presented by Sprint on Friday, December 13th. I almost sent you on the wrong day there. Experience over a million lights and all new shows and attractions like the Sesame Street Christmas Village, the Winter Wonderland on Ice Show, and the Cirque Christmas Show. You can also be entered to win our grand prize, a Vegas getaway. That includes two tickets to the Mob Museum with underground speakeasy experience, dinner for two at Las Vegas Oscar Steakhouse, and a two-night stay at the iconic Plaza Hotel and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Make sure you sign up at 97.3thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter. Joining us now, the man of the hour. He put this all together for us today. Marlon Gardinera here with us. You got an undefeated squad. You guys are taking on Central, pretty good opponent. Talk to us, break down a little bit what you're going to see from your opponent tonight.
Our opponent is fast. They're quick. Their tempo is even faster. They present some challenges. They don't even let you get substitutions in when they sub in five or six guys to go to a jumbo.
That's package. Illegal, isn't it?
You would think. it ought to be. It really should be. And they do it when they're on their hash. So literally, that's part of their game plan, for things to go so fast that it creates a little confusion, gets a guy misaligned, and they take advantage of it. So the easiest part, they're well coached.
Yeah.
So they know how to do these things.
I'm pretty sure Scripps Ranch is well coached also, Coach.
Did they bring in a new guy?
No. Yes, they did a couple of years ago. You, Marlon Gardinera, our guest here. And, I mean, just fantastic. I mean, you, looking at your record, 2-8 when you took over this program, and now 11-0 this season, the first undefeated season in Scripps Ranch High history, first league championship in 25 years. I imagine this place is pretty excited about what you guys have accomplished this year, and you were kind of telling Tony and I off the air, but the stars have aligned this year, and you guys have been able to take advantage of it.
They really have. Some exciting things have happened. A dream season, really. We had a 6'8 kid come back to the football program after being gone for a few years, plays tight end. That just doesn't happen.
Right.
He presents a matchup problem for every team we face. We got a kid.
What, they can't see him?
We don't even throw him a jump ball. We just throw it to him.
Just throw it to him.
Just
right.
throw it to him.
Sure.
But he happens to be the center on the basketball team, so he can actually jump too.
Okay.
So that part works out. Then we get a kid who, believe it or not, he was in the band, and he played the tuba for 3 years.
Yeah.
Now, no football at all?
None. Well, his father's from Africa, so when I say, why doesn't your son play football, he looks at me with a big smile, and he says he does play football.
Soccer.
He plays soccer.
Right.
But he comes out to football. He's 6'3", 240. He runs a 4.5 40, which is just fast, and really fast for a big man.
Yeah.
He reps 295 on the bench press. He's got a 32-inch vertical leap. These are all freak show-like attributes for a high school kid. And he comes out to football. You take that with a team that I've been with for years. Half of this team is my Pop Warner team from the flag days. One of our other coaches, Rod Williams, had the older group. The combination of all of these things coming together, that's what everybody's seeing on the field.
Now, this program had some trouble prior to you taking over. You know, they had struggled in the wins and losses standpoint. You go 2-8 your first year, 6-4, now we're 11-0. What goes into turning a program around in that short of time?
Well,
aside from the stars aligning, because apparently that's happened this year.
That absolutely.
And
happened.
Would you mind working for the Miami Dolphins? Because they need a lot of help.
My wife is from Miami and a Dolphin fan.
Oh, well,
and
I don't tell her hello.
I don't think she thinks as much of me, so they might have to find someone else.
No, I think you could do it.
Well, let's see. The familiarity with the boys did help. Okay. They knew me before, so it's as if the program started before I got here, because I brought a team here when I did. But, you know, I'll be honest, my son was going to Saints. He's not going to Cathedral because I played at Mission Bay and they're still uni. And
That's how you see it, right. It's never going to
happen. He was going to Saints. Richard Sanchez had a program. And I know what football and baseball did for me when I was growing up. And, you know, as a father, you want the best for your kid too.
Right.
So he was signed up elsewhere. And now, don't get me wrong, the academics here, as far as I'm concerned, are second to none. The excellence in the classroom here is unbelievable. But you know for a young man what the sports program does. So I interviewed really for the freshman job, and I said, let me get my boys one more year, transition them to high school. But I came in with a binder for everybody on the interview panel, and I was pretty clear. This is what it takes to have a football program. And really, as a school, you really shouldn't accept anything less.
Right.
It's a good enough school. You have enough talent, and match that with the academics, and you could have a football program. But you have to do these things. And anything less is probably going to lead you to what you've had, which is a bunch of 3-7 seasons for the previous years. Well, they called me back and said, we want you to take the varsity job. And I knew the AD, so he understood my answer. No. thank you, but no. And, you know, he gave me a hard time. And I was having a good time with him. But I said I would do it. But if I was going to do it, I was going to do it. I'm not old school because I'd like to think I'm still young. I know they can't see the blonde hairs on my face right. Out there in Radio Land, but there's a way to teach the game. There's a way to install discipline. There's a way to have expectations and raise the bar and mean it and expect them to get where you want them to go. And quite frankly, if they don't want to go there with you, rid yourself of cancer and remove them from the program. And, you know, I hate to say it, I've had to remove some kids from the program. And I've had some pretty good backlash from the parents, to which I typically respond, I don't coach you. So this isn't a problem that you and I aren't getting along.
Right.
I coach kids. And unfortunately, your child feels the same way you do. So there's no room.
Right.
There's no room here at the old inn. And you take them out of it. But say what you mean. Mean what you say. Make them do it. They can. Raise the bar, raise the bar, raise the bar. They talk about these millennials and this generation. Listen. We had this generation. They're our kids. So if you treat them like you think you were treated, you might get a better result. And that's all that's happening here. That's it.
Scripps Ranch High School sounds like they are very lucky to have Coach Gardinera, Marlon Gardinera, our guest here on Gwynn and Chris, and his 11-0 team getting ready to face Central High School tonight for the semifinals of berth in the CIF Division III Championship. Coach, just talk a little bit about, you did mention, you touched on a little bit, but high school sports, is it still what it was when you were in high school? And if not, what is different about it nowadays? I know one thing that a lot of people seem to talk about is that more kids have to focus on one sport now. They can't really play two or three. What is your thought process on all that stuff?
I was a Division I baseball player at Oklahoma State. I was drafted a couple times. I played baseball and football. All those parents are doing is eliminating opportunities for their children. Different muscle groups, different skill sets, different coaches, different lessons, different meanings.
Let them know, Marlon.
I think it is absurd that parents out there think they're going to pay to make their kid an athlete in one sport. Here's a newsflash, and I've had to say this to a parent or two. Hey, Dad, those are your genes. If he's not capable, you did that. You're not going to pay your way out of it. Unless your wife lied to you and that's somebody else's son, the limitation came from you. Your money is not going to buy speed and power and the skills it takes to play the different sports. So do us all a favor. let your kid get out there and play as many sports as possible and learn from as many different people as possible and find a passion or find skills or more importantly, let's just be honest, I don't coach football for football. Quite frankly, I never had a day in my life where I wanted to be a head football coach. I didn't. What I wanted to do was give my son the best. Richard Sanchez at Saints would have been the best. The follow-up coach would have been the best. But I know I can give my son the best. So all I did was come here and give to the kids what parents are missing out when they don't let them play other sports. I'm teaching them life lessons.
Yeah.
Hard work is hard work. If you do it here, you can do it in the classroom, which is, you know, we raised our GPA.
3.71.
I don't negotiate with kids. If you want to play football, play football. If you have a C, you don't need to practice football. You need to practice school. So if you're cutting kids out of other sports, you're cutting kids out of these lessons. One of the sports people cut their kids out of is Pop Warner football. Oh, they're going to get hurt. Look, Mom, they're not moving fast enough. Dad, they're not. They don't play chicken anymore.
Right.
We don't even let them fight in the backyard with their cousins anymore. The only violence, they don't even see it in cartoons anymore. Tom and Jerry used to go at it.
Yeah, they did.
That stuff doesn't happen anymore. So don't put your kid in one sport. They may never experience some of the greatest coaching or the greatest lessons in life. I got mine from Dennis Pugh. At Mission Bay.
Yeah.
Might as well have been my second father. And I was fortunate enough to always have my father.
I ref some of his basketball games, by the way. He yelled at me loudly a few times.
Then you deserved it.
I'm sure I did.
He gave me lessons that, my sons learn lessons from that man. They do. And if I had decided, I'm going to play one sport and not another sport, I might have missed out on him. Or there's a guy, random guy, Scott Reed with baseball. I didn't like baseball that much. I look like a football player. Man, that guy taught me some things. You'll never forget it. So, parents, you may try to buy your way down the path of one sport, but you know baseball.
Yeah.
Can you not tell a baseball player within the first 5 minutes of seeing him?
You absolutely can.
And how many people have you seen turn from not being a baseball player into being a baseball player?
It's been very few.
Very few. I'm not saying it doesn't happen.
It's been very few.
And we don't
few.
Want the kids not to strive. But look, you want to be a football player? Go wrestle. Go sweat it out. Go learn hand-eye coordination, balance, technique.
How to use your hands.
Yeah. Listen, you want to play baseball? Go play some basketball. Again, with the coordination, the agility. Do some things to develop your body as a whole. Because we all know it. It doesn't matter how good you are in any one of these sports. You're not going to play it forever. And let's be honest, even in the bigs, there's only so many guys making so much money they can't count it. The rest of the guys are grinding it out or they never make it to begin with.
Yeah. I got one more before you let you get out of here.
This has been the best coach interview I've ever heard.
I've had the luxury of playing for my dad. You have your son on this squad. He's a running back, having a good season. What is that like for you? I mean, especially in the sport of football where any play, your son can end up hurt. How do you handle that as the head coach and as a father?
Well, as a father, I'm old school. Any back talk, he could get hurt too.
No.
So
That too.
So having said that, I was a competitor. You don't think... I don't know that I do. I take that back. Last week, a kid from another school tackled him, put his elbow on his neck as he was getting up. And I'm a father. I would have enjoyed running on that field and throwing that kid, over into the bushes.
Right.
You can't. You feel it, those moments. But here's the cool thing. I give a message to 90-plus kids every day. They hear me. And I'll be honest, I'll bet my son hears me more when I'm giving the message to the team than he does when I'm standing there at home.
Probably. Right.
Our locker room, you can eat off that floor. Now, don't do it, but you can eat off that floor. It's spotless. My son's room, not so much. So it's a blessing to me because I can talk about drugs. I can talk about alcohol. I can talk about that's somebody's daughter. And in these days, that's somebody's son. And he hears all these messages from me every day, and I don't get that much time. I don't get 2 hours a night to just talk to my son. The person I used to feel for was my son. Everybody has that question. Is it daddy ball? Well, come watch the game. My son will show you and has shown everybody for 21 games exactly where he ought to be and when he ought to be there. So I don't let that bother me. And in reality, I'm just able to be closer to my son.
Coach Gardner, we certainly appreciate your time. We know you got to start preparing for this game. Good luck tonight, and once again, thanks for your time.
Appreciate
Great stuff,
it, guys.
Coach.
Glad you guys are here. Thank you.
Very good lessons out there for all parents and all kids that love sports and love high school sports, man. This is what it's all about as far as I'm concerned. Coach, go get them tonight.
Will do.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we're going to step away, pay some bills. When we come back, I promised the trainer extraordinaire would be joining us. He's finally here. We're going to talk to Todd Durkin next. This is Gwen and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. Welcome back into Gwen and Chris here on this Friday night. A little chilly here at Scripps Ranch. At Scripps Ranch.
We are such wimps.
Yeah, I'm cold.
I am too.
I got my beanie. I'm ready to roll. Scripps Ranch taking on Central tonight. Should be a terrific, terrific game. Joining us now, as I told you guys before we went to break, I bring to you a good friend of mine's, a mentor of mine's, and also one of the best trainers, I think, in the United States. And these kids here at Scripps Ranch are fortunate enough to have him as their strength and conditioning coach. Todd Durkin joins us here. Todd, how are you, my brother?
Great to be here, Tony. I'm doing awesome. I'm pumped for tonight.
I can tell. I mean, this is right up your alley. This team has done some big things. I actually saw these guys coming in during the summer as you started this program. Talk about the gains that they made from beginning of summer now to this 11-0 part of the season, having a chance to get to the finals.
Man, we started in February, and some of these guys didn't even know what a power clean was. We had to work from the start of, you know, squats, cleans, deads, bench press, because we needed to get stronger. If we were going to compete for a championship, we needed to get stronger. We needed to get faster. And it started in February, and we worked our tails off all the way until August 1st when the preseason kicked off. So I love spending time with these kids in the weight room. These kids are eating
iron.
You
love being in the weight room anyway.
I do. I do. But these, like, when you have kids that want to get better and want to lift, I mean, we're lifting three times a week in season right now. Wow. My whole thing is like, listen, we're not training to maintain. We're training to get better. We got to do things that are going to allow us to not only just get to the playoffs, but finish in the playoffs. And we're physically dominating people right now.
Todd Durkin is not only a trainer here at Scripps Ranch High. His son plays quarterback, but he trains the likes of LaDainian Tomlinson, Drew Brees. I mean, fantastic athletes, world-class athletes.
Michael Thomas.
Where do you begin when somebody like Drew Brees says, I want to get in shape?
Well, his story. You can please tell his story from the beginning, because you had
curious.
Him right after the terrible shoulder.
Is that when you first met him?
A guy like Drew, I mean, he came in because of LT. LT came in because I was doing work with the San Diego Chargers back in 2003, doing all their sports massage, bodywork, flexibility, and LT said, hey, I hear you do something called functional fitness. And I was like, I do. And,
okay.
And LT came in. The day after the season ended, 2003, LaDainian came in. He actually called me the day after the season ended and came in on that Tuesday, 2 days after the season ended, and started training. And 3 months later, he brought in Drew Brees. Now, Drew was obviously a first-year guy and was looking to get to the next level, get his core going. So that was the start of now it's been 17 years of training. So with Drew, it's like, where do you start with guys like that? Those were two of my first guys I started training at the pro level. And I always do an assessment, and believe it or not, like Drew's core. We were trying to get, you know, Drew's core stronger, and, you know, he had never trained in the way that I train folks. So, man, it's every year just a reassessment and where we at and what's gonna help take you to the next level. And a guy like a Drew is always looking to get better, whatever that takes. Tony, you've seen it in the gym, and it's a mindset, it's a blue collar mentality that I see with all the great guys. You know, LT had it. He gave it to Sproles. Drew has it. He's with all the other pro quarterbacks, and they see how he trains, how he goes through his reads. I mean, I've had Luke in the huddle since he's been 5 years old, watching him on the field two, three times a week when we're prepping for that stuff.
Now, it's easier to get a grown man, an adult, to have that type of mentality. They got a lot of experience to kind of pull from that kind of feeds that mentality. For a high school kid,
yeah.
some of which, as you said, don't even know what a squat or a deadlift is. How do you develop that type of mentality for a young kid?
Well, every kid comes in and says, I want to get stronger and I need to gain weight.
Right.
The first thing is I need to gain weight and I need to gain strength. And they always want to go to the bench press.
They want to gain weight. Huh?
Yeah, they will, absolutely, because they come in at 100,
that'll change.
140 pounds.
That'll
change. They come in at 140 pounds and skinny and they're, you know, they're alignment. So it starts with teaching the foundations of the big lifts from down low, because I would say the money's in your legs. Getting from the ground up, you got to have a strong lower body. So squats, deads, cleans, these are the money lifts, and it doesn't matter what position you play. If you want to get stronger, you want to get faster, you got to work your lower body. And the same thing, although these guys always, it doesn't matter what age, you gravitate to the bench press, right?
The beach
as
muscles.
As I look at Coach Gardner, right? The beach muscles, what guy doesn't love that? But here's the bottom line is, if you're an athlete, it's the muscles you don't see in the mirror, it's the backside of the body, and it's the lower body that is absolutely essential if you want to become a better athlete. And these kids listen. Like, they follow the program. We have a design program to help them with their size and their strength. And we had some incredible gains, incredible gains. We've got guys, you know, that are benching over 300 pounds now that they couldn't put up 225 back in the springtime. And we've got guys that are squatting, you know, 400 pounds plus. And it's amazing to see the work ethic that comes with eating right, you know, all the things that they're supposed to be doing. But most importantly, they're showing up preseason, offseason, preseason, and even now to get better.
I played baseball at San Diego State long before Tony got there, around the time his dad did, and it was a different world back then. I mean, we weren't into the weight room for about 25 minutes a week, right. You know, and it was like, don't get too muscly. You're a baseball player. Obviously, this has all changed now over time. What is it about? I mean, I'm sure you have baseball clients like Tony. What's different about getting a baseball player in shape as opposed to a football player, or is it all pretty much kind of the same avenue you're traveling?
Well, I think there's a few things. Number one, it starts with the mindset that you need to get better. You want to get better. You got to take care of the little things. So I always say, you know, if you want to build a monument, you have to have a strong foundation. No different in baseball, because you have such a violent action, especially for our pitchers. I had several of our pitchers in today. They're already training for next season. And when you're talking about arm care, you've got to have not only the ability to accelerate an arm rapidly to throw in the 90s, but you also have to be able to decelerate that arm. That power is generated from the ground up. It's not just, quote, arm strength. The core has got to link the lower body to the upper body, and the fast twitch muscle fibers, which elicit power and speed, are all port. Whether you're a football player, whether you're, you know, you're a female athlete, whether you're a baseball player. For me, I work with a lot of throwers, and our team does, just because that's been my background as a quarterback, and then training quarterbacks throughout my career. But from the baseball perspective, there's not a lot of differences between training Drew Brees and some of my baseball guys now, even guys like Strass. These guys are training with very similar protocols.
Interesting.
One of the things I have to ask you about is your son Luke. I've watched a kid go from a kid to almost a grown man now. I mean, he looks a lot different. And quarterback at William & Mary yourself, you've been around Drew Brees. I've seen you in there with Carson. I've seen you with some of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. What do you take from watching a guy like Drew or training a guy like Carson Palmer, or whoever the quarterbacks is? How do you transfer that to your son? And how do you play the role of, you know, coach and dad?
Well, I'll start with the quarterback perspective. I think all quarterbacks have to have some moxie. You got to have something that's different about you, a little swag.
Yeah.
So when you're around guys like Drew and Carson and those guys,
Drew's got a lot
Aaron Rodgers, they do, but they're not. You know, they're not out there. They're humble. They have a lot of humility.
It's not overt, yeah.
But it's not to the point where it's overt and it's kind of in your face. It's just a moxie. It's a feeling that's created that, hey, that's my guy. And I've seen that, you know, in my career, and all the great quarterbacks I've been around have always had that. To me, the most important things about quarterbacks are that it factor, the leadership factor. Hey, you could have a, quote, strong arm, but you don't have the ability to make the right decisions. Your feet, your base, your foundation isn't right. So it's constantly working on the things mechanically, as well as the reads, the preparation, all of the in-game decisions that happen, because even tonight we'll face that and Luke will face that. We're going to face a defense that's pretty dang good, and Luke's got to make those quick decisions. What I would say is this. this. When you make it, when you make a mistake, you've got to have a short-term memory.
Yeah.
The Drew says this. It was on my my podcast, and he said this thing right here. He's like, when I said, Drew, what when you make an interception, when you throw an interception, what do you think? He's like, man, that guy, he got lucky. And that's the attitude you got to have. So if Luke throws interception, I'm not flipping. I'm like, he got lucky. It might have been a horrible reading. We're going to go over to the pad and look at that stuff. But you got to have a short-term memory. You can't be dwelling on stuff. You got to be gone on your next play, because the next play is going to be your biggest play. So Luke, in the last 2 years, has done a phenomenal job in his growth and improvement, maturation in the in-game mindset of, like, this is my show, and my job is to move chains and put points on the board. It doesn't matter how. We got some weapons on offense. I don't even know how to coach is spread the ball around, because there's so many weapons between our running back, our wideouts. We have a great line up front, and
a
obviously
huge,
we're
tight end.
A big tight end. I mean, it's like we've got a lot of weapons, and normally that doesn't happen at the high school level. Now, that doesn't mean with a bunch of 16-year-old kids, like, you still got to gel them together, and we got to make sure it's not about a bunch of, you know, me. But I think Luke's done a really good job with gelling them and the moxie, not arrogant at all, but that, hey, I got this. I want the ball in my hands.
A little confidence. Last thing for me, Todd, is Todd Durkin, one of the great trainers that we have out there, Drew Brees, LT, Tony Gwynn Jr.,
yeah.
Steven Strasburg, all these guys. But where is strength and conditioning and training headed in this world of technology and development? I mean, it's obviously come from where it was in the 80s, 90s to now. Where is it going to go, and is it headed in a good direction?
Right. Interesting enough, I was actually with the Padres last week over in Arizona, and you know, technology plays a role at all levels.
Yeah.
Kids, high school, college, and pro. I mean, from how you train and your programming is all, it's typically digital now. You have your computer, you type it in your iPad, and you see what you've got to do. You know, reading heart rate monitors and measuring, you know, calories burned and effort and percentage of heart rate. Regardless of the type of athlete, the technology that exists at all levels now is available if one wants to use it. As a coach, we use that to our advantage to actually give us feedback of, is someone overtraining? I think even 10 years ago, many athletes were overtraining.
Yeah.
I look it back even sometimes with LT. I mean, we had some, you ask LaDainian, we had some grueling workouts. I look at it and I'm like, man, there's probably times maybe I overdid it a little bit. Like, because you have a mindset of, like, a mule, you want to work. So technology is giving us good feedback on optimal amounts of volume and intensity that we can use. And I think where it's going now is not only the intensity, but also in recovery. I think recovery is a huge aspect because we are training our athletes so intensely, even at this level, from our, you know, from rolling, foam rolling, and using our you know, Theraguns and just getting the soft tissue prepared for everything that they're going to be training with, and then after the fact. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're 16 or you're in your 30s, 40s, or 50s, 60s. If you're training hard, you got to recover. And it's harder as you get older to recover.
Yes, it is.
And I think that's a huge part from the nutrition, the supplementation, on into the modalities that we're using for any fitness enthusiast or athlete that's looking to recover to the next level.
Man.
Unreal.
People just got a whole bunch of jewels right there. I hope you were listening. This is why this guy is one of the best, Todd Durkin. No, you got to get ready, get these boys ready for this game tonight. We certainly appreciate your time. Thanks for coming by.
Awesome to be here. Thank you, guys.
Nice
Todd Durkin.
That was good.
Man, I already knew a lot of that stuff, but I always feel like when I sit down and I have a conversation,
I got to go home and work out now.
that I've learned.
I was going to take
new.
Tonight off. I'm in a recovery day, Todd. I don't know if that's all right. I'm in a recovery day.
All right, we got to step away, pay some bills. When we return, the Big Five and Matthew Scraby take over the show. Buckle up, ladies and gentlemen. This is Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
Chrisella, Tony Gwynn Jr., both of us ready to run through a wall. After that last half hour.
Let's do this!
My goodness. Todd Durkin, great athletic trainer, and man, the very inspirational head coach of the Scripps Ranch football team, Marlon Gardinera, joining us there.
They seem like they're a good duo together with some kids.
I tell you what, I'm not surprised his team's 11-0, and they've outscored their opponents this year 394-64.
Is that good?
They've had it. That's good.
That's good.
Good. But Central High is going to challenge him tonight in the semifinals. We'll have the game for you at 7 o'clock. Right now, though, Gwynn and Chris brings you our Big Five.
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag about it.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls of fire.
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Todd Durkin was so great, we forgot the biggest fan, so let me do that real quick. John Lank, or Lonk, you are our biggest fan.
Spell it, please.
L-A-N-C. Mm. You are our biggest fan. You have 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973. You've won a family four-pack of tickets at 97.3 The Fan Night at SeaWorld Christmas Celebration presented by Sprint, and you will be entered to win our grand prize, a Vegas getaway that includes two tickets to the Mob Museum with the Underground Speakeasy Experience, dinner for two at the uniquely Las Vegas Oscar Steakhouse, and a two-night stay at the iconic Plaza Hotel and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Make sure to sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter. John Lank. Yes, I'll just go with Lank. And let's get into the Big Five.
Number five.
Now, because Christian McCaffrey is now, a headliner of our show, we're going to start the Big Five with him. He is Houdini. And he is also, he said something that floored me when I saw it, because in an interview with The Athletic, the Panthers star running back revealed that a voter once apologized for a Heisman voter once apologized for not giving him their vote. The reason why? The Heisman voter simply hadn't seen enough of his games because they were often asleep when Stanford's games started. McCaffrey said, quote, "You just have to laugh it off. At that point, I knew that I didn't win any of the awards in Atlanta, so I figured I wasn't going to win the Heisman. When you're young and you have these big aspirations and you want to win them, it's great. But I've actually learned a lot since then. I've learned that you can't really focus on what is out of your control. Winning games is a lot more fun than receiving awards." So, Tony, how can they make sure that this doesn't happen?
Didn't this come up earlier in the year when the Pac-12 was talking about starting their games at like
8 a.m.?
8 a.m.? Because that would be the only answer for it, really, because, I mean, there's just a three-hour difference between the East Coast and West Coast, and you want to schedule the games at a time where you're going to have the most eyeballs.
And you want TV.
And you want
TV. You want every game on television.
Right. And so the unintended consequences of that is that the folks on the East Coast, who seem to have a lot of votes, are the ones that don't get to watch the game. So a guy like Christian McCaffrey, who, by the way, was doing all the same things he's doing in the NFL, was doing them at the college level, maybe even better because he was punt returning and kick returning as well, misses out on a Heisman. And that's just unfortunate. I don't know that there is a fix for it. Unless you go to those 8 a.m. games, which would be god-awful for the actual teams having to play in an 8 a.m. game, I don't think there is a right way to do it.
Chris?
Yeah, nobody's going to see the San Diego State men's basketball team play. Or not many people are going to see them play this year, and they never have because their games start at 10 o'clock on the East Coast if they're televised at all back there. And I can say this. When you go to the East Coast, we were in New York last year at Cooperstown, the West Coast does not exist. You don't even know about it. You don't hear any scores. You don't get any scores. You don't stay up late enough to watch any games. That's why there is an East Coast bias. It's not because the East Coast is arrogant and
they
biased.
Hate the West Coast, right?
It's just that they don't see the games. They don't see the players. They don't see the athletes. And that's why when you have a 50-50 race that, like, McCaffrey's going for the Heisman, or an MVP race where you got a West Coast guy against somebody from New York City, go with the East Coast guy in the end, because they're going to probably win the vote. That's just how it works, and Tony's right. There's not much you can do.
That voter should not have admitted that. That's embarrassing.
I mean, he's only admitting the truth. I mean, that's probably how most of the voters felt. He just, for some reason, decided to spill
and
the
I
beans.
Will also take it the way it is on the West Coast, because I like the fact that Monday Night Football
Heck
is on
yes.
at 5:30, I don't want to wait at night.
I don't want to wait till 1 o'clock to watch the NFL games on Sunday.
Exactly.
I like the 10 o'clock start.
It's craziness. All right, let's move on.
Number four.
The Cubs increased emphasis on data throughout the organization, and that was reflected in 8 additions to their minor league coaching staffs they announced today. The newcomers include former Chicago Bandits softball player Rachel Folden as the lead hitting lab tech and fourth coach for Mesa of the Rookie League. Folden is 32 years old, and she created Folden Fast Pitch in 2010, providing baseball and softball instruction based on biomechanics, science, technology, and data. Folden is believed to be the first woman on a coaching staff in professional baseball, not counting the independent league. So, Chris, do you think softball knowledge will translate to baseball?
I don't know why it wouldn't. Number one. Number two, it's about time. Number three, I wish this lady the best of luck so that she's not the only woman that gets into coaching. I mean, look, we got Becky Hammon very close to being an NBA head coach. She's not quite there yet with the San Antonio Spurs, but I have a feeling she's going to lead the way in that category. We've had women's coaches in the NFL working in exhibition games. I mean, this is something that has been well past its time due to happen, because women are as smart as any guy out there and can pass along the knowledge. So, yes, I think it can all work out just perfectly.
I haven't asked Tony yet. Tony,
nope, you haven't.
Do you think softball knowledge will translate to baseball?
Yes. I mean, we're seeing Jessica Mendoza is a special assist, I don't know exactly what her title is for the Mets. I've seen her having talks with kids in their organization. I think it can work. I think she'll have to be careful with how much, and it really depends. If she's in the minor leagues, which I think that's where she's going to, rookie ball.
Jessica Mendoza's baseball operations advisor.
I'm talking about
Rachel Fulton. She is, yes, rookie ball.
Yeah. So I would, my guess is that she's going to do fine. A lot of these young guys who come up in the minor leagues now, that's how they learn hitting anyway. It's through biomechanics. It's through the new technology that they have. So I think she'll flourish there. And hopefully this opens the door, as Chris said, for more women who have the expertise to find themselves in professional baseball.
All right, let's go to number three.
Number three.
It was crazy. A lot has gone down in ESPN's First Take this week after Colin Kaepernick held what wound up to be his own workout in Atlanta rather than the private NFL cameras only affair. Yesterday, though, things got even crazier because former star wide receiver Terrell Owens was on the show and told Stephen A. Smith this.
So what he wanted was transparency for people to see the full workout, to see the full Colin Kaepernick. Again, you mentioned obviously Max is going to get in here. And like I said, I'm in the streets. Max almost seems blacker than you, Stephen A., with his commentary.
With all due respect, my brother.
I'm just saying.
I'm going to check you right now. You don't cross the line.
I'm just saying.
Tama, wait a minute. You don't cross the line.
That made me uncomfortable.
It made me uncomfortable, too. If you didn't pick it up, Terrell Owens said that Max Kellerman was blacker than Stephen A.
I didn't see it. What did Max do?
His eyes immediately shot out of his head, and he holds his hand up like, Stephen, you got this.
I'm out.
So, Tony, is T.O. out of line for these comments?
Yeah, he's out of line. I think, listen, Stephen A's caught a lot of heat for his opinion of the Colin Kaepernick situation. And the reality is, it's okay to be on different sides of the argument. It doesn't make you any less anything because he feels a certain way about how Colin Kaepernick handled it.
And he also shouldn't have to worry about whether Colin Kaepernick is black or white to have his opinion. And that's what T.O. is kind of asserting.
Exactly. And so, listen, it was a below-the-belt shot. Especially because it was on national TV. You know, that's one thing to send a text to Stephen A., personal text, where he may say something like that. But it is completely different to do it on the air, on national TV. I think T.O. was out of pocket, but is it surprising? T.O. has never really been one to sugarcoat or bite his tongue and something how he feels, whether it was ridiculous or whether it was correct. So, yeah, I think he crossed the line. I think that was unfortunate.
Chris?
Yeah, this was spoken out of, just misinformation from T.O.'s part and then just, you know, not intelligent, really. I mean, the show First Take, which I don't watch, but I certainly see plenty of the clips from it, is not a black guy versus a white guy show.
No.
And that's what Terrell Owens is asserting by saying what he said. It's Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman, two guys who know a lot about sports and have very strong opinions, giving their opinions on all kinds of different things. And I don't think you should be supportive or not of Colin Kaepernick based on your race. And for T.O. to assert that Stephen Smith was being that was just way offline.
You know T.O. knew it was wrong, too, because after he said it, he kind of like had that uncomfortable giggle. Like, I'm just saying, man.
I'm just saying. Like, yeah. I think TL feels a little bit like he's been left out of the spotlight recently.
I don't think that has anything to do. I just think TL just said something stupid.
All right, let's move to number two.
Number two.
We're running out of time, so I'm just going to say this. Floyd Mayweather Jr., he's 50-0. He hasn't fought since August 2017 when he beat Conor McGregor, and he is 42 years old now. He said he is coming out of retirement in 2020. Tony, I'm breaking news to Tony right now.
You are breaking news.
He said all he did was post an Instagram post saying coming out of retirement in 2020. And a lot of people are speculating whether it's going to be
Pacquiao,
whether it's going to be Khabib Nurmagomedov. And because he was at a game with UFC president Dana White at a Boston Celtics
game. They were over
there
chucking it up, too, over on the sideline. They're having a good old time.
So I was going to ask this question, and Tony answered it for me. But, Chris, do you care about this?
I'm not a boxing fan, but yeah, if I am going to care, it's probably going to have something to do with Floyd Mayweather. I'd like to see him fight maybe one more time. I also would like to see some younger guys come onto the scene. I mean, these are names. I mean, Pacquiao, Mayer, these are names that have been around for two decades. When are they going to?
Literally.
These sports need to start developing some new young talent, and that is a problem, I think.
That is the problem with boxing in itself as a whole, because they have some young stars in that division. Spencer's one of them, Porter's another one, but none of them have the cachet that Mayweather or Pacquiao had, so nobody's really paying attention.
All right, we got 2 minutes. Let's go to number one.
Number one.
Monday Night Football, Rams and Ravens, and Jalen Ramsey took to Instagram to ask Michael Vick how to defend Lamar Jackson. He posted a comment saying, so how would you stop someone like, well, kind of like yourself, but the 2019 version? I need tips for the game, which I thought was hilarious.
That is hilarious.
So, Tony, if you're going to start a franchise, would you start it with Michael Vick or Lamar Jackson? And we're talking about football skills.
In 2019? I'd take Michael Vick. As good as Lamar Jackson has been, Michael Vick was a better thrower. And in today's NFL, he probably plays a whole lot longer and is even more productive than he was in the old NFL. I think this NFL is suited perfectly for Mike Vick. I take Mike Vick.
He is Houdini!
Which is a clip made because Lamar Jackson did an amazing run.
I've seen some moves that Jackson's put on this year that I didn't never see from Michael Vick.
I never see from anybody.
I mean, he's made guys grasp at air this year. It's hard to say. They're both tremendously talented athletes. I think Vick was probably a little bit ahead of Lamar Jackson at this point in his career. But Lamar Jackson, by the time it's all over, might surpass Michael Vick very easily.
All right. I thought that was really funny, though, asking Michael Vick.
Especially coming from him.
Yeah. do you think that Jalen, now that we ran through this, we have a couple seconds. Do you think Jalen is kind of legitimately asking for answers?
I think he is. I think part of it is obviously.
Well, he first went to Eric Weddle for some information, and Eric Weddle wouldn't give him.
I can't help.
Tony, what do you think about that? We talked about that yesterday. I had a problem with it.
I'm torn. Like I love the fact that he still respects those guys enough to just not reveal their whole game plan. But on the other side, it's like, bro, you play with us now.
Help us out.
Give us something. We're battling for a playoff spot. They seem to be all right where they are.
Yeah.
I thought that was so
weird. I'm kind of in between on that one.
All right. We got the big five in 15 minutes. I'm out of here, guys.
What are you, Rocky Long?
I don't know. That wasn't
dropping the mic.
No one thought that was funny?
No, not really.
I broke the mic, by the way.
Great. All right. Wow. We're halfway home. Gwen and Chris, till 7 o'clock. Scraby's losing it. We're just warming up. Skyler's going to be with us to pick him in college football. Call in if you want to be our college football pick 'em contestant. That's next with Gwen and Chris. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.